You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Welcome back to The Alex Spicer Show. This is your host, yours truly, and my co-host, brother, and eligible bachelor, Rob. Hey, Rob. How's it going?
It's going.
So, Rob's a little bit exhausted, if you can't tell. I mean, he's talking kind of with his normal voice he normally does. But, I'm just kidding. But uh-huh. I can see you physically. No one else can. And you definitely look pretty exhausted. You just drove 12 hours? Or how long did you drive?
10.
Oh, 10?
Yeah.
I thought it was farther than that. Okay. Well, either way, drove a long ways across the vast expanse and dreary wilderness called Wyoming.
Actually, this is Montana and Idaho.
Oh, you took the other route?
Yeah, because on the way out,
the dreary wilderness of Montana and eastern Idaho.
Yeah, it's faster by like 20 minutes.
About like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So. Well, that's fun. So you went through like Butte and Salmon?
No, I went through Harleton, Big Timber, Bozeman, Livingston, into West Yellowstone, Island Park.
Oh, so you went that. Oh, instead Rexburg. Of going all the way to Butte and then going south, you cut the corner.
I suppose so. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't looking at a map.
How dare you cut corners?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
got pulled over.
You got pulled over?
I haven't been pulled. I've only been pulled over three times.
Did it happen in Idaho?
Montana. I would just left a gas station. I tried to fill up. I went to go into pay, and the guy's like, our thing's not working right now. It has to reset because somebody tried their card too many times. I'm like,
what?
Darn it. So I just left, and then I got back on the highway. And
the guy at the gas station didn't take your credit card information to pay? What did he say?
No, I was trying to pay with cash, and he said, sorry, our pumps aren't working because somebody tried.
Oh, so you didn't fill up at all?
No. So I was like, is there a town nearby? They said Big Timber is close. So I was like, okay, it's on my way. So I went, and you're right, when I left, got on the highway, I guess I went too fast getting up to speed. Once I finally got up to my cruise control, I put it at my normal speed, but I guess I must have
gone out over 80.
Yeah. He said, you went 84, and I have no memory of seeing it go that fast, but I don't know. There's a lot of hills there, so maybe
did you get a ticket?
No, he just took my license, spent like 5 minutes in his vehicle, and then came back, gave it back.
Criminal record history, background and stuff on you.
Yeah, he just handed it back and said, have a good day. That was it. So is he supposed to like give me a warning or something?
He didn't say anything?
No.
No, usually they just say we give you a warning, but technically, sometimes when they say that, it's a verbal warning, and sometimes it's a written warning.
Yeah.
It looks like it gave you nothing. Either that, or maybe they don't have to tell you stuff, and you're just going to get a crap thing in the mail.
Yeah. But it was really brief, and he was nice. I just don't understand why he had to drive behind me for quite a while, and then, you know, and then later on pull me over. It was just like, well, what are they doing? I want to know what cops are doing when they drive behind you for a while before pulling you over.
It's a power move. No, dominate.
Do they scan your license plate?
No,
they're doing while you're driving.
They're scanning your license plate
and while driving. Sure.
Oh yeah,
you think so?
Their computer's running all the time. Have you ever seen an officer looking down at his computer while driving? I see it all the time.
Oh yeah, but I didn't know that people. Means they have like a camera that can scan everyone's license plates.
Oh yeah, I mean, so I knew this one guy. He was a tow truck driver. He owned a tow trucking business, and they have a camera and a computer that can, while they drive at like 30 miles an hour down a street, scan every single license plate on both sides of the road in real time, and can catch if someone's license plate is not registered, like someone's tags are expired, and they just stop, pick them up and tow, keep going, and find the next one. So if a tow company can do that, cops got, they got what they need. Yeah.
Well, that explains it.
But so you got up to 84 and then set the cruise control at 80 because the speed is 80.
Speed limit was 70.
Oh, it's 70?
So I set my
Oh, so you like scroll all the way down to 70?
Yeah, well, it was like 72, but that's where my speedometer, if you compare it to when those they have them set up on the road.
Interesting.
It's always like two or three off, so I always set it to 72 because it's probably actually 70.
Sure, sure.
But apparently I got up to 84. I don't remember, but I guess so.
Oh, well. Well, but...
Well, I don't know. I never get pulled over.
I think there's a curse on that route because actually, when I was coming home back from my first year at college,
mm-hmm.
It was back in the day when Google Maps and MapQuest were, you know, like you'd look at either one and they were always inaccurate. And I think I actually used Google Maps this time because MapQuest was always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into Google Maps and it was like, oh, today is the free day for Yellowstone. I was like, oh, sweet. So I could actually go up through Idaho, see my sister in Rexburg, and then take West Entrance, Yellowstone, and get home. And, you know, go all the way around, exit East Entrance, and get home.
So in Wyoming. Yeah.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it didn't mention that many other routes home were closed.
Uh-huh.
Also, it didn't mention that it was a free day, but half the entire road in Yellowstone was closed. So Yellowstone Road is a giant circle.
Hmm.
And you can enter in on West Yellowstone side, and you can drive, because when you get in, like, you're on the sides of the circle, so you can, like, go halfway down the curve, stop, dead end, roads are closed. I was like, what? So I turned around, drove all the way back towards the entrance, then went all the way up to the upper curve, got halfway through the upper curve, stopped, dead end, turned around. And I was like, gosh. Man. And I almost got pulled over there because people were going slow and I was trying to get around them on the straight parts.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, though, I was having a bad day because a couple hours before then, I wasn't paying attention to my speed. I don't have cruise control. And I got pulled over by a cop and got a ticket in Idaho. I was like, son of a bitch. I was so mad.
Bummer.
Yeah. And so when I was in Yellowstone and the cop flicked on his lights, I was like, no, Tyson, one day.
Right.
But
yeah.
He didn't come after me. He just flipped them on to scare me. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. It was
flashed you.
Yeah, flashed me. I was scared for life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Marion, you shorty stuff. So, really, really random here.
Mm-hmm.
On TikTok, right? I try to regularly post things on TikTok, and I think some of my content can be pretty decent there.
Just under the Alex Spicer Show?
Yeah, or? It's at Alex Spicer Podcast.
Okay.
I try to keep most of my social media things at Alex Spicer Podcast, that way it's easier to find. No one remembers how to spell our last name, so.
Yeah.
But what I did see, I randomly posted a reaction to that turkey from, what's the movie called?
I don't know what it was from.
I've seen that movie. I have seen that movie before, though. I believe it was. It's like where they go back in time and stop the first Thanksgiving from eating a turkey. And
isn't Nicolas
and so
Cage?
It's like the president.
Owen Wilson's voice in it.
Yeah, and it's like the presidential that. Pardon turkey. He's like standing there, and they're giving him cue cards to read, and he's like, and then it ends with, I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message. Video alone has gotten more views than any of my other videos ever. And I'm like, what the crap?
Wow.
Actually, the funnier thing about it is that these two guys for like two or three days straight were going back and forth arguing on my video about Trump's racist. No, he called them Mexicans rapists. Like, he was talking about the cartels. Then it was just like back and forth for days. I'm like,
well, that helps. I don't give two craps,
I guess. But what's really interesting... Well, here's a really frustrating thing, and you brought this up, is that, I did a video where it's really dishing on the American president.
Mm-hmm.
And TikTok, like, really let that video go viral.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do any other videos and I post, and I have, like, hashtag conservative or any other similar tags,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really go much anywhere. It's, like, very much at random. And virality is at random, but there's also a lot of suppression across all social media platforms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and given that TikTok is owned by the CCP, communist dictators, you know, anything they can do to undermine American morale and sentiment and unity, they're all for. But the Democrats already did that when they effed with our election, so.
Right, yeah.
But anyways, We're going to keep it brief today. Rob's really exhausted. And
How many views is it at now?
Last I saw, it was like 78 or 79,000.
That's awesome.
Which for me, I'm like, whoa, that's like a whole ton.
I've got a video you'll have to react to. I mean, well, I don't have it on TikTok, but hot shots.
Part two or
yeah,
part
one or two. And the president is just out of his mind nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to use clips of it.
I've got to use it. It's so good.
It's like I am surprised it's not used already. It is spot on.
I'm pretty sure
exactly
it must have been, but
it
needs to be spread.
Just has no idea what's going on.
But it's stronger if it's a reaction, right? So if I just post it myself, I don't know if it'll go anywhere. I can try that. But when I duet it, like when I did a reaction to someone else's, it went pretty far. So maybe you'll need to post it, but you won't do that on your account.
No, not on my account.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, I never get on. So.
Well, I'll just go for it. I'll just post it myself. But it's, it's so good, though. You all got to see this. So I'll post it on my TikTok. If you go to TikTok and look up Alex Podcast, you'll
Alex
find me.
Spicer Podcast.
My name is at, when you look for it, it's Alex Podcast.
Oh,
but,
really?
Just but at you can find, yeah, Alex at Podcast. Alex Podcast.
All right.
Keeping it short.
It's easier. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Especially if you get married and change your last name.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my wife here in a couple months might be like, you know, it's time for us to do a matriarchal society. At which point I'm going to have to arm wrestle her or something. Be like, no, patriarchs rule. Patriarchy all the way. Patriarchy, yeah. Well.
If that happened, if a girl wanted to keep her last name, she would have to. Or if she refused to take on her husband's last name.
I've met women who do that.
It would make more sense for her to make up her own last name because, if she's doing it out of like fight the system mentality.
Oh, to be consistent with that standpoint of I'm doing this to fight the patriarchy.
She's taking her dad's last name.
Like you'd have to go for your mom's last name, but her mom's last name is her the paternal.
Yeah.
How far back do you go? My last name is Eve, the original feminist.
Right. Yeah, you have to, make up your own last name. But yeah, I don't think that girl would probably get married.
My last name is Zerzwazwi, just like my pronouns. Anyway, sorry, that's a bit offensive. To everyone not listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this, hopefully you enjoyed that. And this is why I get bad reviews from rogue listeners. They're like, what? Okay, so the topic I wanted to focus on today is how we put ourselves mentally in a state of living outside of our control, out of self-control. Because we put ourselves in a mental state to where we are not actually focusing on controlling the things that are under our control, our lives feel out of control.
Can you give me an example?
And hold on, I'm not done yet. Yeah. I'm going to use the word control a lot
right
now.
You asked me already.
And by doing so, it turns us into control freaks, where we want to control others and other things in our lives that we can't, right? So we obsess over it. So a really good example would be, let's say you have kids. You can't control your kids, but you can be a parent who tries to control everything about the kid. Like you don't let them have any choice, any say in anything in their life, and you do everything for them. Or a boss, right? A boss who's micromanaging, like where they can't allow things to grow and flourish because everything has to be done exactly the way they want. But those are the things outside their control. Like you can try to control it to be that way, but in the end, it's not really gonna work. You're gonna be unhappy. You're gonna be miserable. You're gonna be facing tons of frustration, and we see this in politics, right? Everyone across both aisles do this, but you especially have people who do not have their lives together much at all. And they want to do something about it, and they are encouraged by a very bad party, a very bad group of people who tell them, in order for you to gain control back in your life, give us more power and we will basically exercise control over those that we will convince you are your oppressors. And so it's like these people who who like they can't even emotionally handle them their own emotions. Like they can't handle themselves. They can't hear differing opinions, right? We call them snowflakes. They get triggered.
Right.
Those sort of people are full of frustration and anger because they are trying to control other people. They're trying to control everything because they personally have no self-control. The focus is on their environment rather than on themselves. When you focus on trying to control your environment rather than yourself, how you respond to your environment and what you can do, you are a miserable individual. And you are very inclined to take measures to do things that are harmful to yourself, your community, and other people. But you don't give a crap because all you can focus on is like, how do I get enough power to put people under my thumb so I get what I want out of the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the three levels of control? Or is it, I think it's called the three levels of control, but they basically, it's like, you have three circles. It's like a target, right? One circle inside of each other.
Okay.
Large one, it gets a little smaller, and then even smaller in the middle.
Okay.
On the main exterior, it's like a the Russian largest doll. Circle. No, not Russian doll. Target, dang it.
Ukrainian doll.
You say those, and now this podcast is not going to go anywhere because algorithmically they're going to hear that and go, oh, you may not share this yet. I mean, all the platforms say, if you talk about that thing going on,
yeah.
They really do. They threaten you. But the largest circle, right? Like the largest circle is your environment and things outside of your control.
Okay.
Most things in our lives are... the reason why that circle is biggest because that is most everything in our life. Like the majority of things in our life are things outside of our control. But the next smallest circle, the one just smaller than that, is influence. Influence is not things we necessarily... have control over, but we have, you know, we have some power over what's going on there.
Okay.
Our influence, we have power over the influence we provide on other people, right? We can't control them and do what we want, but we can influence them and create good outcomes, right?
So who's build someone relationships. Who would be on the outside?
Say what?
Who's someone who would be on the outer circle?
So it's not like who is someone, it's like, where is your mind mentally? Is your mind mentally focused on the large circle, the environment, things you cannot control, things outside my control?
Uh-huh.
Or is it focused on influence? Or is it focused on the center circle, which is myself, yourself? Because that is the one thing you can control. You can control yourself. And what, you know, coaches, you know, life coaches, motivational speakers, and psychologists, and therapists, they'll all say, focus on the first circle first.
Mm-hmm.
Accomplish that. It's almost like the pyramid, right? Where you're like, you got to get your base needs taken care of before you can transcend to the top of the pyramid where you...
Where the sugar's at.
Yeah, where the sugar's at, right?
Yeah, got to get your wheats, your vegetables.
You got to get 11 servings of bread every day.
That's right. That's right. And by the end, you're going to look like a triangle because you're so fat.
So that's exactly right.
Yeah.
They'll tell you, these experts will tell you, focus on establishing, being really good at that innermost circle.
Mm-hmm.
How can you improve yourself? You know, better routine, better habits, manage your emotions. And once you have really done a very good job at cleaning up, you know, the power that you truly have in your life, which is over yourself, then expand your mind to working on your the next circle, which is your influence.
So we're going from the big circle.
No, we're going from small circle, okay, which is yourself.
That makes more sense.
Circle, which is yourself, and then you expand outward, which is your influence.
So this is like a snowman where you build the head first, and the head is you, and then the next level is the torso.
Sure. Yeah. But and once you get good at the influence, you can't control the environment, which is the largest circle, the things outside your control, but you'll notice that your environment will start working more in your favor typically because your sphere of influence is a part, it makes up a part of your environment. And so, for example, I have influence over the relationships I have. What if I do a really good job at being really good friends with someone and they like me a lot and they meet someone else and they go, and this person says, hey, I'm looking for someone who's really good at X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend of mine goes, oh, I actually know someone. And they think of me.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide because I've been, you know, like, because we have a good relationship and they trust me and they think I could help other people well, they refer me to that person who is in my environment. I can't control, you know, like people at random coming to me. What sometimes we call luck, right?
Huh.
But if I increase my sphere of influence,
uh-huh,
the things outside of my control will often start coming to me and working in my favor.
Because you took care of yourself.
Because I took care of myself first, and then perfected my sphere of influence. My sphere of influence will also then help my environment do better for me. And I know this is like a really, like, we're going deep into like psychology and mindset of all this. But it's very important to recognize that, because we currently live in a world where we are becoming too focused. And this is both sides of the aisle. We are becoming too focused on the things outside our control. If you want to find out a big reason why people have hypertension, especially in their older age, it's because they listen to too much politics. Politics fills them with a sense of frustration,
mm-hmm,
which raises your blood pressure, which can cause you to have hypertension and cause you to have blood pressure issues.
Huh.
And you know that's not good for you. And politics is all about focusing on the things outside our control. However, they are within our influence. But how good is your influence unless you have really fixed yourself?
Mm.
So for example, if we fix ourselves, we can keep ourselves organized. You know, when we've talked about eternal vigilance, remember? So
no.
Remember when we discussed the Utah caucuses?
Oh.
And I was like, that's a weird way to shorten that word. Yeah, Governor Cox.
Someone posted in that group I follow, posted a picture of some political guy trying to get running for something.
Yeah.
Got a picture with Cox. And he's like, and he didn't mean to word it like this. He's like, he looks so smug and comfortable with Cox. So, yeah. Did you mean for that? Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I interrupted.
But it's like the caucuses, remember? No one showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just kind of felt like basically they didn't do their part. Because what's within your control, your circle there, mm-hmm, the most inner circle, are your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
People who abdicate, who do not fulfill their own responsibilities, will take on habits that that sabotage their success and their happiness and their future, and can lead to poor habits and poor actions of trying to become more controlling of other people, right? Because
mm-hmm,
once you like you don't solve your own personal responsibilities, mm-hmm, you get your environment becomes more hectic, and you will react to that environment, and you will do wrong things, you know, so following that. That's actually why it's very easy for tyrants to take over, because you're like suddenly things are out of control.
Right.
And now you're like, oh, we need a strong man to come in here and save us.
Okay.
And that was Julius Caesar. That was many other people where they're very influential. They're very persuasive. They're popular. And that's what I worried about Trump. And I've worried about other politicians. We're like, oh, DeSantis, right? The thing that bugs me about those sort of politicians is, mm-hmm, the fact that people want them to bring out this hammer and be like, yeah, cudgel those other people. Yeah. And it's like, hold on. If you make that the precedent and if you don't keep them in check with their power, I don't care if they're using their power in a good way. If that is not the power they should be wielding,
yeah,
you need to stop that, because second someone else that you don't like gets in power, they're going to swing it right back at you in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
That's how
yin yang. It's like,
oh, yeah.
People think it's chaotic on the left, so they just want someone on the right to compensate for how far the left is swinging, to swing all the way to the right.
Yeah, the pendulum swing.
Granted, Trump did not go to the right. And I mean, he did go to the right, but did he compensate and go extreme to the right? Not even close. He was way too...
No, he just brought us back to what was supposed to be normal.
What was normal? Yeah. He, like, 10 years ago, you would just say, Trump is very liberal. That is him. And he's fiscally conservative, very liberal. And, but nowadays, it's like, he's a...
Constitutionalist. You mean the left would say this?
Yeah, it's like, now he's a crazy guy, right-wing supremacist. It's like, you have no idea...
You have no idea the good he's done, and
he's not swinging hard to compensate for how far the left has gone.
No, he just went, hey, he literally followed the Constitution better than any president has probably since Reagan. And even Reagan, you know, took some liberties that I don't think he should have. He took me by the hand.
Marilyn Monroe.
No, that's JFK. She was dead by the time Reagan.
You're his Marilyn Monroe. You weren't even born yet.
Nope. But you see how, like, we can get so caught up in talking just purely politics and forget that, you know, politics is a symptom of what's happening with us.
Uh-huh.
This is why I try to focus on principles that allow us to ensure that we are secure, we are happy, we're free.
It's like hemorrhoids are the
oh my gosh
the symptoms of something. There's something deep there.
Hemorrhoids, the symptom of trying too hard.
That's right. Yeah, it's the hypertension of your butt.
Oh my gosh.
But there's something deep. You have to get that inner circle fixed.
Oh.
clean your room.
Oh, the soldering iron. No, I'm just joking.
This is all tied back to Jordan Peterson. Like, get your own life in order. Yeah.
Well, it's... But it really does influence our politics. We cannot be eternally vigilant against evil if we do not know how to manage our own lives. Mm-hmm. So I did a video today on TikTok, and I was just like, here's a good reminder. And I said, no playing with friends or video games till you do your chores, right? No dessert till you finish your dinner. And then I said...
This is a video you did?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. And then I was like... you can't have rights without responsibilities.
Hmm.
And we forget that. Hmm. It's like we tell our kids this, you can't have this without that. But then we go, well, I believe I should have all these rights in the world. Well, then you have a responsibility.
Your kids are British?
No, just the left.
Oh, okay. Wait, so you can't have rights without responsibility?
You is can't. That what you said? Yeah, that was a really big thing that the founding fathers hit on. So this goes back to the idea I've shared on other podcasts in the past, which is one of their biggest concerns about fighting for independence before they were like, we're going to do the Declaration of Independence. They weren't sure they wanted to go there because they said the manners or the behaviors and mindset of the people was too English, was too British, where the people would rather be ruled rather than rule themselves. To rule yourself requires taking responsibility for your own life. Being independent, thinking for yourself, being willing to have your own property and manage that property. But the thing is, the British, they'd only known for hundreds of years being ruled by someone else. Mm-hmm. They don't think for themselves. They're told what to do. And the founding fathers were like, well, this is not going to work. Like, we can't declare independence because if we have that mindset and those manners, we're just going to look for the next tyrant to rule us. So what's the point?
Right.
Like, why get a new tyrant? Like, why get rid of that one? Like, might as well keep the crown over us, right?
Right, yeah.
So, and if you break down what they're saying is people have to adopt more responsibilities to show they can be individually independent to then be free and to not allow a tyrant to take over them. Something that you know, like, I don't give two poops what other nations think of America. They're like, oh, people hate Americans. Like, why do I give a crap about what other people think? Why do I care what New Zealanders or Australians think? Like, if I want cow, you know, sheep to tell me, you know, how to live as a wolf. I mean, I'd be a retard to do that. Seriously, I mean, that's just dumb because these are people who. The pandemic has proven they have no power. They have no rights.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And they always say, well, Americans are so arrogant and all this other stuff. And it's like, why? Because we say we're going to make our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are going to fight hard against tyranny. That, you know, we believe in free speech. We believe in a dangerous freedom rather than peaceful tyranny, peaceful slavery.
Yeah.
So you can't have freedom without rights without responsibilities. Those don't exist. And
wait, does that apply in your personal life?
Well, yeah, I'm
trying to think of
something. So you can't have rights, you can't have freedom without responsibilities. You can't have personal freedom. Let's go with financial freedom. You can't have that without taking on serious responsibilities.
Okay.
So when I was really struggling to take care of my family, by now I had 3 kids and I was struggling to make hardly any money.
Mm-hmm.
I really did not think the answer was work more hours. I was working as hard as I could with the hours I thought I was putting in were adequate, but I worried like, oh gosh, like, but if I'm gone too much working, I'm not there enough for my family, and I have a family responsibility to focus on.
Right.
But you have to create a balance, right? And sometimes the needs, sometimes you have to take extreme action to overcome extreme circumstances. I was in an extreme circumstance, which was I was impoverished. I have a lot of kids. We're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So I worked 3 jobs for a whole year. And I made sure I tried to make the hours. I had like an hour to an hour and a half with my kids each night. And that was it. I tried to make sure that was as qualitative as possible. But I was doing that because I was trying to solve my problem of poverty. I wanted greater wealth. That way I could better take care of my family. I didn't feel like a failure all the time. It wasn't on the government dole. I didn't want any of those things.
So no.
But the thing is, so I took on that responsibility. My responsibility was like I have a responsibility to my family to prosper and not just barely make it by, or in our case, we weren't making it by, were we? I was failing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a responsibility to not fail, but to provide well for them. So that meant I had to do more. I had to take on that responsibility in full. I was taking it upon myself 25%.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to go all the way to 100%. And because I did that, I was able to open up doors for myself and my family, make more money, and then not have to work as many hours to make more money. But then I continually refine what I'm doing because I take that responsibility so seriously. I'm not just like, oh, I did good. Set it down now. I don't need it anymore. No, it's constantly in my mind. That way I could prosper more and more to where I'm at now.
Now you can relax.
No, now now I work smart and hard and making more money than I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never have gotten to where I am now without taking on my responsibility 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want greater wealth, you need to take on more responsibilities. And if I wanted to get paid better at my job, mm-hmm. know what I did?
What?
Like my first like really good opportunity job, they hired me just to do, you know, the marketing for them, the mm-hmm. ads. They had no one else doing it for them ever. They mm-hmm. had no one knows what they're doing. I was really good at what I did because I had really good mentors.
Do you
want
to say what you do?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they just heard it anyways.
Yeah, ads. Like,
but you just did. But anyways, and so I decided, no one was telling me to do this. I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to sell to our current existing clients who are just website clients. Cause it was a company that primarily built websites. Mm-hmm. I started calling up and contacting our existing clients saying, hey, are you interested in doing ads? Mm-hmm. And I started getting clients and getting them to pay the company thousands more dollars for us to do ads for them. And then I was like, I went to my leaders. I said, hey, guess what? I'm now making you thousands more dollars, like tens of thousands more dollars right now. I'm managing all these clients. We could do more with this, but I need mm-hmm. to hire people. I created a whole department of theirs they didn't have.
Was this the first official fancy job you said? Like
where it was? It was a multi-million dollar business. Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long ago was this?
2018. And
wow, you've known this a while.
So I did that, right? And I ended up building a whole department. Like I went on my way to take on more responsibility, right? I could have just been like, okay, I'm just gonna do these dumb little responsibilities they have for me here. And I decided, no, I could seek an opportunity. So I took the responsibility upon myself to seek after an opportunity. If it failed, oh well, I learned a lot.
That's pretty cool.
And I can go somewhere else. But instead it worked out. Mm-hmm. I ended up building a whole department that wasn't there. They gave me really big pay raises and mm-hmm. the leadership responsibility. I hired people. I trained them.
Mm-hmm.
It really exploded into success. And I've done that in other jobs I've gotten, right? I would take on more upon myself because like if I want greater... We could be talking about freedom, but I'm talking about wealth right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take on more responsibility. Yeah, like I would, like other places, I would say, what else can I do? Like, how can I grow? Oh, this is the income I want to get to. What do I need to do there? Right.
I feel like you should say, wait, because you're saying take on greater responsibility and you have greater rights or something.
Going back to rights. Yeah. Yeah. So meaning fulfill the responsibilities that are within your wheelhouse, that inner circle. Mm-hmm. We have a ton that's actually there, mm-hmm. but we don't fulfill them enough.
That inner sphincter.
Oh gosh. we have a ton that's there, mm-hmm. but most of us aren't fulfilling that. One of those is to be financially independent. If you are getting kickback, if you are receiving help from the government, mm-hmm. you're doing it wrong. Everyone needs help every once in a while, but I need to tell you, don't ever get it from the government.
Right.
Because the government's just stealing from me to give to you. Get it from a church. Because then they can say, Rob, we're helping you out here, but we're just not seeing the fire in your bones to really take care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like you're mooching off of us. Like they'll tell you, right? They'll kick you in the pants. They'll be like, so don't be a bum, don't be an idler, and get out there and work.
Right, yeah.
And people need to have those conversations. You need to have someone who can be like, I can help you. And then when they see that you're just using them, they'll pull it away. Like, because mm-hmm. either you hit rock bottom and turn it around, or get wise, you know, from someone waking up your eyes, you know, and then you turn it around. So, but we have a lot of responsibilities there that if we fulfill them, we get greater freedom, right? Being independent financially from the government. Like we are independent from the government financially. We are independent from the government emotionally. How many people that rely upon political parties for emotional dependence? There's millions of people out there. And there's a whole political party that caters to that. And then they use their sphere of influence in like colleges where they say, we're going to create safe spaces where there's no free speech.
Okay.
Right. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because these people are emotionally dependent upon a political party to baby them.
The right would love my house because there's no safe spaces where I live. It's just chaos.
It's just all meth. It's just a meth house.
could be. It's Airbnb. It's just absolute chaos.
It's only chaos to you because you're running the show, but to everyone else, it feels pretty smooth.
I hope so.
I know so, because I've been an Airbnb host for years, and to us, we're like, huh, moving parts, and everyone else is like, wow, it was a great stay, and you're like, thank goodness you did not notice the crap marks on the toilet seat or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, but yours is set up better, because yours is separate from your living quarters, so it's like, I can have anybody just walk on downstairs and
I told you,
open
I,
out my
I
imaginary
create
door
a,
and slit my throat.
A lock there.
Yeah.
Anyways, going back to yeah. Rob's personal problems.
Too much responsibility.
No, you're just
too little rights.
you can always get better at how you fulfill responsibilities, right? Like buy a bloody door with an electronic lock, so that way no one can get downstairs and slit your throat like you're afraid to.
There's more factors
sense.
There.
Yeah, sure.
But that's another conversation.
But that really what it comes down to. If we want a better nation, if we want greater freedom, we need to improve ourselves individually. Now, this next part might feel like I'm coming out of left field when I say this.
Okay.
But the fastest way for us to fix our inner circle, ourselves, right? And take upon ourselves our responsibilities more fully.
Mm-hmm.
Make ourselves independent and strong emotionally, mentally, financially, etc., is to embrace a good, positive religion such as Christianity. Join a church, a good church, not one that's going to tell you what you want to hear,
mm-hmm.
But one that is going to tell you the gospel, you know, unadulterated, pure, and will call you out when you're sinning, when you're doing wrong, when you're not living as you ought to.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to hear that anymore. People want to hear just they're being told, oh, you're perfect the way you are. I mean, unless you're a Republican, but you are perfect the way you are. Yeah. Just believe as we believe.
Yeah.
Rather than you have Christianity, which says, you're not perfect the way you are. Please mm-hmm. believe the way we believe, because this will bring you inner peace through the Savior. And the Savior is all about transforming our character. He transformed our characters to be better, to be more like Him, to be prepared to live with Him again in His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes a transformation of our character. Like we need to follow after Him. Follow ye after me. Come follow me. Be, you know, I would that you would be perfect, even as I or your Father in heaven is perfect, right? Like we need to be like Him. His gospel is all about us transforming how we act, how we think, what we do. And when we are that way, we can be free. It is literally a religion that encourages independence, because your dependence is purely upon God. But as the saying goes, God helps those who help themselves. Or as Abraham Lincoln is supposed to have said, pray like everything depends on God, and then work like everything depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
God will never save you if you just go, he's, you know, like he's not going to help you in your circumstance if you just say, do this for me, please. Please, I pray. Maybe he'll give you inspiration ideas, but then he's going to be like, roll up your sleeves, brah. He's not going to say brah, but roll up your sleeves, Rob, and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll guide your path. I'll guide your feet, even without you noticing, but I'll get you there.
Like you constantly got to be moving.
Yeah.
It's like
a saying that we used to say when I was a missionary, is that it's easier to move. It's easier to turn, get a large, heavy object. It's easier to turn it when it's moving. So for example, if you have a big fat boulder or a big, huge, heavy rock, like it's a perfectly smooth round ball. If you go up to it, you're like, okay, I'm going to turn it left, and it's not moving. It's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like, you're like trying to push it so hard in it. Like you finally get it to start turning left. But what if it's already moving down the street at a very, you know, it's moving nice and slow. You need to
say a car.
Even a car. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
can't turn a car if it's not going.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You know, if you're pushing your own car because it breaks down, if you have momentum, you're moving forward, then it's easier to start turning it.
Right.
But if it's like at a standstill and you turn the wheel, you're like, no, push. Oh my gosh.
What if you don't have insurance? No.
I'm going to kill you.
I'll stop. What if someone hits your car?
Well, then you go flying. It's easier to hit a car that's not moving. Sure. But yes, the way we really secure our freedom is by having religion, because as I said, well, I'm going to tie it all together. The founding fathers were worried about people's manners, their behaviors, their character, their mindset, whether they could be free and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And they relied very like heavily and almost exclusively upon the principles of the Bible, saying if people would follow this, we will be free forever. And even that's why John Adams said that our Constitution is completely inadequate. It's wholly inadequate, as he said, for people who are not moral and religious.
Yeah.
So meaning you can pretend like, oh, we don't have to have religion in America. Well, he's like, well, our Constitution, which is the very thing that makes America great. It makes our political institution better than anyone else's in the world, in history. But the only way it works is if we are moral and religious.
Yeah, I mean, normally I don't...
We have to be principled.
Normally I don't trust a man with two first names, but I'll allow it.
John Adams?
John Adams, yeah.
John's not a last name, is it?
John Adams is two first names.
Oh, did I say you last? Said two last names.
Joke ruined. Dang it. Bob Saget.
Dad joke gone wrong.
But you definitely see it more nowadays with morality being enforced through the law, so it's becoming more obvious that it's not it's less Christian Judeo-Christian foundation.
Yeah country. Eventually you're going to try to legislate every behavior, but you cannot legislate morality. You can legislate around morality,
mm-hmm.
but in the end, something that we have forgotten, which has bugged me for years now, is they legislate every bloody thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of, like, for example, the Constitution is you look at it and you go, well, this is contrary to the principles outlined here in the Constitution. So therefore, we don't need a law saying explicitly this is illegal. We just need to say this is not in alignment. Like, this is contrary to the principles listed here, because they didn't want our world to become law heavy, where we're like, well, this doesn't align with the Constitution, so let's make a law against it. It's like, no, you just, anytime it goes into court, you just like, yeah, clearly this is wrong, so they should be punished, right?
Right.
Because if you have to outline every little thing, people are just going to look for the loopholes. If you apply principles, then you can beat down every bad turn we take.
Right, yeah. If everyone has that foundation.
Exactly.
You can't really enforce that.
But you can spread the gospel readily, right? We can be unapologetically Christian, right? And not be afraid of being labeled, because it's like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, people are saying Chris Pratt attends a homophobic church. I'm like, I don't think anyone there is afraid of a gay person. Oh my gosh, someone's gay! Run away, right?
Right, yeah.
They're not doing that. And obviously what they mean is a church that, you know, he goes to a church that does not accept homosexuality as something that is good.
Oh, does he?
He's Christian.
Chris Pratt. I know, but in Hollywood, I just assumed they were just flipping.
Either way, but they would say that about everything, right? Uh-huh. You just have to eventually just say, I don't care. I'm going to let my actions and my character prove this is better.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go to work. We do what needs to be done. And we help people along the way. We don't judge them. We aren't mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
We form bonds with them. In the end, you're going to help people faster if they know that you love and care about them. Something that the left has done a really good job at, which I hate, is that they make these people who feel marginalized, they make them feel loved and cared about when they're really just being used and manipulated. And so these people become so loyal to them and brainless, they'll do anything without thinking for themselves.
Got like an example you're thinking of?
Well, yeah, homosexuals.
Okay.
They go, or even they'll say minority, like black people and stuff. They'll be like, everyone else hates you, especially Republicans. We love you.
Uh-huh.
Look, we'll give you free stuff. See, it's a sign that I love you. Now go and do my work. Now go and get Adam Dubartik.
Right, yeah.
I'm not actually trying to draw on the Bible there. Like, Eve is not is not the example there.
Yeah.
But you see, right? We see that.
Yeah.
So, guys, embrace religion. Spread it around.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
Dare to live drug free, and we will have a better nation, right? Like, I feel like we're standing on the precipice, and if we don't lean back towards our Christian moral foundation, we're not going to get anywhere, and we're not going to return to our moral Christian foundation unless we actually embrace what it is, right? Okay. What many conservative shows like to do is they like to just talk about politics and kind of glaze over the principles there without recognizing their source.
Mm.
If we don't recognize the source, then there's no real power to our words, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need power. We need the godly power in our lives to transform our thinking and to make us eternally vigilant against tyranny, to shun the evil that is coming upon us, and to invite others to partake in a happier, better, freer society and way of living. Huh. That's how we're going to get there.
Huh. You going to do some ads on this podcast so more people can hear and do all that? I'm just being a good co-host by saying the most basic boring stuff.
If you'd like to send me an email about what Rob should never say again or what you want him to comment in the next episode, send me an email at contact@alexspicer.com, and I'll be sure. Or you want to send me a comment that is sufficiently outrageous and ridiculous, I'll read it on the show. I don't know if you cannot do Rob though, so
yeah. You well, wish.
Yeah. No, I don't wish. That's exactly. Well, thank you for listening to the Alex Spicer Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review. Please leave a review. And share with those that you feel like could use this. Even if you're just like, hey, skip to this one part. It gets really good here. I think you want to hear that. Rob, you do that with me all the time. I like that.
I do what?
You'll share a podcast with me and say, you know, fast forward to 31 minutes. They start talking about such and such
like,
a thing.
Like he farts in this episode. Skip to this part. I've done that a few times. This
juicy part. Juicy part.
If you hear a fart, send this episode.
Man, it's late. I'm tired.
Let's hide a fart in each episode. Yeah. then a little Easter egg. A little sphincter egg. Oh gosh.
No, I regret thank you. That. No. Well, Dave Rubin's already doing that for us. We can't pick up on his trend. Oh man. Oh. Thanks for listening. And Rob, you're disgusting. And
it's
on the wrong note.
I'm holy.
Nope, not gonna. Okay. Live free until next time.